Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today we're starting our last unofficial Yet Us Getting Older episode. So I'll share what that's all about before we proceed with our program. Although the tale does not survive, Hercules' encounter with Yet Us, known to us as old age, is preserved on ancient pottery. Yet Us was said to be the child of Erebus and Nyx, the primordial goddess of night, or sometimes the issue of Nyx alone. As can be expected, in some depictions, our heroes engaged in staving off or actively fighting old age. The shriveled and diminutive Yet Us doesn't seem to stand a chance. In other depictions, however, the encounter between Hercules and Yet Us seems remarkably free of conflict, almost friendly. How do we reconcile these contradictory images? Perhaps they are different points in the greater tale. Perhaps they depict different incidents altogether. Alas, we may never know. Now that I'm in my 60s, with at least half my life behind me, I would like to venture a guess. In my age, the impulse to mitigate the effects of aging, which can no longer be ignored, is quite strong. Exercise, supplementation, and diet are recruited, and a variety of cosmetic, emotional, mental, and spiritual techniques are gradually added to our arsenal of weapons until Yet Us is kept at bay. Some fight harder with drugs, surgery, and fringe or cutting-edge science. Though the struggle, acceptance eventually emerges, and with it, peace. Embracing old age and facing the finality of all mortal life allows you to appreciate the preciousness of each and every passing moment. When I personally found myself there, I made a promise. Until I die, I resolve to fully live. And onwards to Michael Del Russi, my companion on this journey. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm very good, and that's an excellent introduction, something for all of us to think about. So we really appreciate that statement.
Thank you, my friend. It'll be a regularly scheduled program, and if I have options and where to put it, I will present you the options, and this way we'll choose something that's most convenient for you.
Well, that's an exciting concept, the journey of doing what we can to slow what's known as the aging process. That's our passion. That's our goal as well. And we're firmly convinced that steps that we take on a day-by-day level, if you will, a moment by moment, can really make a difference in our lives. It's sometimes this, what appears to be the smallest decisions can reap the most benefits when it comes to slowing aging. And I think the fact that we're putting some magnification on this can serve our listeners well on this journey to fight old aging, to fight the process of aging the best we can. There are a lot of tools, a number of tools at our disposal to do it, and I think it should become a part of everyone's focus, if you will, major focus on a day-to-day basis. It can be done. Degenerative disease, whether it be heart disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, is still very prominent in our society. Yes, there are many pharmaceutical choices to help us along, but unfortunately, most of these choices come with profound after effects, if you will, side effects. So we turn to nature. What the planet Earth has given us to help us in this journey. And that's what we're committed to do. The information that we share on the air will benefit someone in the listening audience. It may be for a week, it may be for a month, it may be for the balance of their lives, but something we introduce on this program can certainly assist those who are dealing with some of these deleterious conditions. So that's our goal. That's our goal, and it's a powerful one.
Yeah, yes, indeed it is. And fortunately, lately I've been finding a lot of materials about anti-aging or about staying youthful. And so there's a lot of material for me to explore and play with. And of course, I'll be sharing everything I found. One thing I found in my experimentation that I'd like to share is practicing using your imagination or visualizing. That I'm a dedicated meditator, as you know, and I meditate twice a day. I do some visualization as part of my meditation. I also use affirmations and so forth. But I found that if I devote a separate meditation, so for now it's a third meditation, just to visualization, it makes, as people have said, it's true, it makes your meditation visualizations much more powerful. So what you do is you imagine the type of body you want with the type of conditions you want, like if you don't want the diabetes and you don't want whatever it is that you're wrestling with, and just imagine what it would be like not to have that condition. And it's in your imagination, and it doesn't work right away, but you tap into a feeling of health or memories of health that really help you in making decisions, because your reactions to certain foods, to certain vitamins and certain things becomes more acute if they're not good for you. Like I found that some things that I was eating that seemed to stay within the guidelines and weren't spiking my sugar, now that I'm doing visualizations, I'm finding that some of those are have a reaction on a deeper level. And it's more extreme visualizing it. So now I'm cutting back on those things as well before they become a problem with my body.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm excited that you even brought that concept up. The last, I would say, month, I've been making an in-depth study on the law of attraction. We've heard so much about it. So much has been published about it. There are many, many authors going back decades that have focused on it. We know that there is a mind-body connection, and I'm hoping on the future broadcasts that I might have the opportunity to share what I have learned up to this point. So I agree with what you're doing. The law of attraction and manifestation can work. These techniques do work. There are any number of techniques to use. Imagination is absolutely one of them. Another one I feel that is very potent is expectation. Along
yes.
with the manifestation, expectation. We can expect the pains that we're experiencing in our shoulders, our knees, to be much less. I personally, to magnify what you just described for us, I'm doing a white light meditation presently for my shoulders. I have severe arthritis in both shoulders. And the last, I'd say, 2 years, it's really made itself known. It's, you know, it's made itself very much present in my life. I do scans. I have discovered that I have cartilage degeneration, and I have not focused on that. What I have focused on when I do my white light meditation is as I'm taking in white light, it's saturating my body. Because we know the ultimate ascended master, Jesus Christ, talked quite a bit about light. And I'm utilizing white light. And I have found, as I'm taking in white light, saturating my physical self, the pain in my shoulders visibly, it becomes less. It becomes less. Like my senses could detect it. My body is telling me that it's so. As the white light is saturating my body, the pain is actually disappearing from both shoulders. It's vanishing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm very excited about that, so I'm going to continue doing that on a daily basis. But I've been making a very intense study on the law of attraction. We hear so much about it. And I've made a decision. What can we learn? What can we learn from the true masters of this concept throughout the decades. So I'm hoping in some future broadcasts I can share what I've learned up to this point. I do believe that there's validity to it. I do believe it can change our lives. But we have to, just like working out in the gym, we have to train our spirit. We have to train our consciousness. Our subconscious mind feeds our conscious mind. And our conscious mind is an empty field. And if we think negatively, if we make that a habit, well, you know, negative results will probably manifest themselves. But if we think positive, with a spirit of both positive imagining and positive expectation, I think we can change our lives. I believe there is a science to it. I believe that our bodies do respond to our thoughts, but it's taking us forever here in the West, myself included. I have been guilty of this as well, to really utilize the power of positive thinking, positive imagining in our everyday lives. No question that it can make a difference. So I'm hoping to really delve deeply into that in future broadcasts.
Well, that is one of the, I'm making many changes in the 2024 to our programming because I've had years to play with it now and to try different things. So in 2024, I'm putting things under like slightly different umbrellas. And one of the things I want to focus on is a show about positive thinking, visualization, positive prayer, or mind power. Some people call it spirit power, as other people call it, to look at that whole thing because it's the same thing. It's described differently and it's labeled differently. Like for instance, I just got a book called Quantum Leap Your Life. The Ultimate Guide to Acting as If, and that's by Jennifer Blanchard. And it's just about that, about using your imagination and the strength of images to improve your life. So I'm reading that. I'd like to talk about that as well. So we could do a show and we could interview people as well. An author contacted me on my email, and she sent me her book, and her book is about that as well. So I'll be interviewing her, but we can start an entire program just as we've been focusing on the quest for optimal wellness physically. And we have a bunch of shows where people address certain mental and emotional issues. I'd like to do one like, for instance, I was thinking of the term that you use, Olympian mind, and I really like that. So I was thinking of using that for the title of the show, if that's okay with you. And just having it devoted to that, to visualization, meditation, affirmation, manifestation, the law of attraction, abundance, prosperity thinking. You know, again, it's been described in very many ways, and some of those ways have negative things associated with them, like, for instance, the prosperity teachings. But we can look at them like we do at vitamins and exercises and things like that, and really focus in on what worked for us, what didn't work, what we discovered, what we learned, and it could be another voyage. So we'll take the one with wrestling with Yetas, and then we'll do one with strengthening your mind and your spirit as well as your body.
Well, that sounds exciting, and I think it's all connected. You know, I think that... the power of the mind and what we do is in terms of our physicality, in terms of exercise, diet, and supplementation. At the end of the day, I think it's all connected. I think the whole concept of the law of attraction, there's so much to it, and there are so many possibilities to be examined. In quantum reality, there are those who teach, and I agree with this, that we have to feel as though we already, what we're trying to manifest, it's already a part of our lives. One of the techniques, and there are many, many exciting techniques, is when we have some desires, we keep a notebook of dreams and goals. The point is to affirm that it's already with us. Our bodies are already free of arthritis. Our bone structure and what have you are already in a state of perfect physical health. They see it in the quantum reality. we must already feel as though we have what we're seeking. That's one technique. I think there's something to it. I think there's objectively, there's a science to it. Subjectively, when our subjective mind influences our objective mind in this way, I am convinced that exciting things can happen in our lives. So I think, you know, exploring all of these different concepts when it comes to law, the law of attraction, will certainly benefit many. We have to be clear in terms of what we want. We always have the opportunity to change the list. The one thing I do believe when it comes to that law, if you will, is to write our dreams and goals down. Write what we need down. Write them down. Writing them down and speaking them are the two major techniques in practicing the law of attraction and trying to manifest what we need in our lives. Write them down. Keep a dreams and goals notebook. Write it down, and we always have to have the opportunity to change them and to add or subtract. So I think, like anything else, like training in the gym, you know, we'll choose exercises, then we may eliminate them for a while. I think the same thing goes with our spirit. The same practices apply to our spirit. And I think very exciting things can take place in our lives. So for myself, I can say I'm tired of neglecting this aspect of my life, especially here in my twilight years. I think there's something to the law of attraction and manifestation, and I think we should make every effort to explore all of the techniques that can be available to us. So I'm excited to go on this journey with you.
I'm excited too, and it's a most divine attribute, I believe. I've always believed that our creativity, our ability to take something we have inside our mind and to make it real in the waking world, as it were, that is a divine power, and we happen to have it. And we've created a world of imagination that we live in. Our world does not reflect nature's imagination. It reflects human imagination. Everything, if you look around, everything you're surrounded with was thought of by somebody and created by other somebodies. Even our language was created by other people. We use it creatively to express ourselves.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I always say this, going back to the fundamentals as far as our thinking, you know, it's as simple as this. We live in the third dimension, and what we see is that, you know, everything around us, there's a creator. Everything that we see, there's a creator behind everything. This creative thought has been applied, everything we see, and the earth itself, the life in which we live. A logical mind will tell us there has to be a creator. I was walking my dog today and observing nature as it is. And I think it's foolhardy. It's almost an insult to our intelligence for anyone to truly believe, or make us believe that all of this just appeared by happenstance, biologically, physiologically, nature itself, that all of this just happened. There is design. There's obviously the design in our world, is designed to nature, is designed to our bodies. What we create is a matter of design. There has to be an ultimate creative power somewhere. We are part of that creative power. If that's so, we're part of the I Am. In the Old and New Testament, the term I Am is used. I believe that's the source. There is a source. We can think into that source, and we are part of that source. And who knows what the new journeys we can create, you know, accepting that concept. So there's a whole world out there. And what's really exciting to me, as I continue my studies in the field and all of the masters, if you will, that have written about the law of attraction for over 40 years, is that the various techniques that we can use on any given day to manifest what we need in our lives and manifest the changes that we need in our lives, there's something to it. And there's a whole flood of techniques which I hope in future broadcasts we'll have the opportunity to share.
Well, we certainly will have the opportunity to share it. And I know several people I'd like to invite on the journey. We have a lot of hosts who are also in their senior years, but who are very youthful. And their youthfulness permeates everything they do. And you'd be hard-pressed to guess that they're in the winter of their years. So it should be a really good journey. And I'm thinking of some authors, too, that we've had in the past. Like we've had, let me find him over here. We've had Richard Hamilton Gibbs. He wrote a book called The Mount Olympus Lifestyle. And even though it's a keto book and you're not like very fond of keto as a dietary technique, last time I spoke with him in last year in September, he said that he was working on life extension a diet, and he was very much focused on that. So he might be a very interesting person to invite. Johnny Peterson, the inventor of Transformetrics. He's in his 70s, and except for his white hair, if you look at him, he has a bodybuilder's physique well into his 70s. So he's someone else we can invite to share where their journeys have taken them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rick Brown also, who is the foremost trainer in club training, Indian clubs or mallets. They're called maces. They're called different things. He's also in his 60s, I believe.
So, well, you know, all of these techniques, and again, different things. At the end of the day, different things work for different people.
Yes.
You know, and that's why it's important to explore all of the techniques and explore these individuals, explore their journeys, and see what they've discovered, you know, through trial and error. It's always about trial and error and gathering as much information as we can. You know, I always go back, going back to the law of attraction for a moment. I daily think about what Tesla said, that if you want to discover the secrets of the universe, you think of energy, frequency, and vibration. And I think that's absolutely true. And if we keep our vibration, energy and our thoughts at a certain level on a daily basis in terms of what we need in our lives, and as far as transformation is concerned, there's no telling what we can do. And, you know, we know faith is part of it. Jesus taught a lot about faith. I believe there's no question that Jesus taught the law of attraction. I mean, his statements, his teachings are full of it, full of the aspect and the possibilities involved in thinking in certain ways. So I think it's all part of it as well. I think Tesla was absolutely correct. Keep that energy level high, keep the vibrations at the right level in terms of while we're imagining what we need in our lives. And I think when you put those three techniques together, I think remarkable things can happen. So, there's a lot that is available to us. And I just think about, frankly, candidly, the years I have wasted. I mean, I can tell you there was a time back in the early 80s, I guess, I was pretty much an existentialist.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. And so it's been an honest journey from existentialism, almost agnosticism. I was part of the crowd at one time, very serious. It wasn't a bitter type of a thing. It was a very serious state of mind. I was a believer that if there's a God, if you will, it doesn't matter. He doesn't really bother with us. That is your basic core of existentialism. If there's a God, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, he's concerned with bigger things. But since that time, my journey taken me far and wide, and I realize now what foolish thinking that was and how many years I have wasted when I could have been researching multidimensional thinking. I believe at the end of the day we are multidimensional creatures. I think Jesus Christ was a multidimensional avatar, if you will, multidimensional teacher. And I think that's a part of what he attempted to teach in his many, many concepts and view of the universe and this physical world, if you will. We have a multidimensional field available to us, a multidimensional field. And I think it's our opportunity, especially now at this point in our lives, to really delve into it and put some of these techniques into practice. So it is exciting. And I'm anxious to hear what some of these researchers that you've mentioned have to say. And I'd like to add my own concepts in terms of what I'm learning up to this point, because the bottom line is we are always learning. And
that's true.
Yes, and we can share that with others.
I was fortunate in my life because my father was very much in tune with New Thought, it was called. And that's where the law of attraction and all these other things arose from here in the United States. And it was part and parcel of the I Am movement that rose based on the teachings of Blavatsky and other theosophists. And those thoughts went into New Thought, and Christian Science went into New Thought. And there were a lot of new ways of looking at things. And my father, that was his religion. He didn't call it anything. Like, he didn't call it New Thought. He didn't claim any sources for it, but that's what he believed. So in addition to all the Greek mythology and history and philosophy that I got a healthy dose of that as well. And I'm finding that as I grow older, many things my father did make a lot more sense now than they did when I was younger.
Well, I'll tell you, I think, to be very candid, at this stage of my life, and I've been listening to some of the programs, especially one on Urantia, the Urantia book.
Yes.
Spiritual books and documents, if you will, on the subject of creation and all that is available to us and what's happened so far. But at this stage of my life, I would have to say that New Thought spirituality is probably as close as we can come to what the answer is. And I'm glad you brought that up, because if you say New Thought Christianity, of course, people on both ends of the spectrum may be turned off. Those involved in metaphysics and those involved in who are not Christians may shun the concept. So instead of coining it New Thought, I choose to coin it New Thought spirituality. And there's so many great teachers. I mean, Emmett Fox, Charles Fillmore, the great Ernest Holmes, Mary Baker Eddy, of course, Neville Goddard was
another. Neville Goddard, he's one of my favorites as well. I have all his writings, both on my Kindle and also in my library.
Fantastic teacher in the New Thought area. And to me, at this point in my life, I believe I don't discourage anyone from researching these various documents, if you will. The Urantia book, there's one called Osophy, which is very much like Urantia. That's something I'd also like to get into. With Rose Carusians, I studied with a group called Astara. In fact, I'm
yes,
Astara.
An Astara in need is never alone. Me too, back in the day.
Yes. Very superb teachings. In fact, I recently just purchased they have republished their lessons, if you will, into large volumes. And,
oh, have they?
Yes. Look into it, because it's very handsomely produced. very handsomely produced. A little expensive, but certainly worth it. I've ordered two copies at present, and of course my goal is to go through each and every one as the opportunity arises. Yes, amazing. I mean,
I still have no lesson on the Golden Fleece. That's in my Golden Fleece library shelves. And I have a few random. I used to belong to a morgue also, the Rosicrucians, and I found a few things as well. Not many of them survived my life's journey, but a few of them did. So, and one of our members in our theosophy, she is Pamela, her name is. She's a Rosicrucian, so she brought that element right back into what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your dad was right on target. I think it's good to research all of these concepts, and there's so much in depth. But at this stage of my life, I've decided my search for the source, if you will, and how it's connected to us both in this dimension and next, is to simplify things. I think it's important at the end of the day to simplify things. And I think new thought probably makes more sense than anything I've uncovered. I research everything that we've just mentioned, the mystery schools, the modern mystery schools. It's all very interesting, very entertaining. But when you take a book and it's 950 pages long, and the Urantia book, I know, is very large. That's not the only one.
Right.
I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I always get it wrong. Osafi. I think it's Osafi is the right pronunciation.
O-H-A-S-P-E, right?
Yes. And how did you just pronounce it?
I don't know if that's the correct way to pronounce it. That's how I've always... pronounced it. I've spoken to them as well, and not this round of podcasts that I'm doing, but the series of podcasts that I did in Pennsylvania years ago, decades ago, I've spoken to them as well. And I used to have, it's one of the few things my old dog destroyed, my old dog chewed through. I had an original copy of the book, and it's the only book my dog destroyed, so I had to find another copy of it. Because it was great. It was channeled information, and it was very much like the Urantia book and like the Unarius type of material, but it was a different voice coming to us from space and the raw material. So this was another version of cosmic universe. And all of those different cosmic universes are consistent with what happened in antiquity with the Gnostics. They each had their own cosmogonies that were kind of different from each other. And the Eastern discipline of Santmat is very similar as well. And once you look at them in their historical context, all of these cosmic spiritualities are facets of a greater gem that, yes, you're right, it fits in very neatly with New Thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly does. I think what I think the difference is, as we really delve into these various sacred books, if you will, or channeled material, all very interesting. I know the book we're just discussing, it's very in-depth, extremely in-depth. I think it was channeled, supposedly, through a dentist.
A dentist, yes.
Yes, and there's a wealth of material there. And I think it's all exciting. And any part of this information that these individuals share with us can open up our own channels to receive the source, if you will. Like Catherine Ponder, you've probably heard of Catherine Ponder. I don't even know if she's still with us. I hope that she is. She was a believer in unity consciousness.
Yes, unity.
Yes. She wrote a book called, you know, Open Up to Receive. And all of this material, all of this multi-dimensional material, and I'm going to use that phrase quite often because I really think it fits, can serve to open up our channels to new experiences and new sources. But at the end of the day, your dad was onto something, because I think I've reached a certain stage in my life Well, I want to, yes, absorb all of this knowledge. It gets exciting when I sit down with my notebook and I'm reading Estera, as an example, one of their lessons. And I personally like to take notes on everything I'm reading. But I want to keep it simple. And I think New Thought does that. New Thought, at the end of the day, keeps it simple. You know, it indicates to us that the essence of the source, the essence of the Christ mind, if you will, is in everything. We know that's true because there's a pantheistic quality to everything.
Yes.
You know, because everything's made of energy that is constantly active. But the consciousness is in us. The essence is in everything. The consciousness is in us. We are able to think. We're able to sort things out. The essence of the Christ, the Anointed One in Greek, is in everything and constantly in motion. But the consciousness is in us. And I think that's basically what New Thought teaches. I noticed something else about these books, whether it be Urantia or Asafi, I think I'm pronouncing it right, but I'm still not sure, which I think means, as I recall, breath.
The breath, yes.
Wind. Am I right? And
yes.
Where Urantia indicates earth. But at
yes.
the end of the day, it's the simplicity of New Thought and the teachers that emphasize it, Quimby, Fillmore, Ernest Holmes. I don't think he is mentioned often enough, and Neville Goddard, so many, they kept it simple as though, change your thinking, change your life. The mystical source is available to us. The multidimensional source are available to us, but we have to do our work. We have to do our research. So at this stage of my life, I enjoy listening and absorbing all of this material. I know they talk about there's 12 different St. Michaels, and Jesus was St. Michael, and all these kinds, some of which, quite frankly, let me be honest, because it sound almost silly, but they all open up pathways to new knowledge. All of these teachings open up pathways to new knowledge. But your dad was absolutely right. At the end of the day, it's simply New Thought. And New Thought
yeah.
is that everything is in motion. Everything is connected to one source, and we can apply our thoughts and our attitudes to that source to create a better life. You know what? At this stage of my life, I want to keep it simple. And so I'm pretty sure that that is the way it is. So New Thought, I think, is the answer for me. I'm going to continue to do my mystical studies and be involved in my mystical studies, whether it be the Urantia book. I really like Estera very much and their product and what they produce. But at the end of the day, New Thought spirituality, and that's what I'll be very careful to term it, because we live in an age where, unfortunately, where denominational thinking and dogma
yes.
still exists, as you know. So you're absolutely right, by the way, using that term. New Thought spirituality is the answer for me at this stage of my life. So I think your dad was really onto something when he committed himself to that.
He used to say that with your mind you can create anything, you know, and just basically you had to believe and you had to keep seeing what you wanted to create. And he was very insistent on that. And it's a lesson that I grew up with. And as I get older, I realize how much value was in those teachings. And yeah, I call it different things, but I more often than not call it New Thought because, as you said, we live in a very sectarian society and people
yes.
are ready to hate other people for seeing the universe differently. So New Thought is kind of neutral.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it encompasses so many different techniques and concepts. When you say New Thought, a lot of what we're studying, as you're certainly well aware, is really ancient thought that has been abandoned or forgotten. And this type of approach re-involves, if you will, re-establishes these teachings and these concepts in our modern everyday life. And we're starting to find out now just how valuable changing the energy of our thought can be in terms of our physical world. And we're just really on the cusp of all of this. It is exciting, and I'm anxious to continue the journey, certainly, as much as my existence, if you will allow.
Yeah, the same here. I've been trying to get people to talk to each other in various many ways, and sometimes successfully, sometimes no. But I'm resuming again something we used to do years ago, where we had representatives from these different groups talking about topics. And for instance, we would talk about, despite the fact, like with the Christ Michael thing that you brought up, some people buy into that, some people don't buy into it. But ultimately and eventually, that's not as important as, you know, what do all these Christ Michaels say? You know, and with Ashtar, the same thing is people are very polarized about Ashtar. But a lot of teachings are consistent. You know, they differ in their presentation. They differ how they're marketed. But the information behind the presentation is remarkably consistent. So I've been trying to get people to focus on that. But it's difficult. I will tell you, some groups will not participate in conversations with other groups, but they're willing to discuss the topics individually. And so I'll do that. I'll invite whoever wants to talk about it collectively. And then the people who want to talk about it individually, I'll just schedule them on different shows. And this way we get the information out there where people can be exposed to it and contemplate it. And even with my own Olympian spirituality, I never maintain that people have to believe what I believe or see the world the way I see the world. It works for me, I've also spent large chunks of my life exploring other ways of looking at things that aren't part of my Greek heritage. Like I spent 15 years looking at the world through the Norse mythological system. I've spent years of my life looking through various pop culture, especially science fiction ways of presenting information. And all roads lead to Rome, that saying, all of these roads are like spokes of a wheel. And eventually, if you go towards the center, they'll lead you to a very similar place or the same place.
That's a very important point that you make. And I'm glad you brought that up, because yes, we still have that, unfortunately. It's very unfortunate, but yes, people will be, instead of recognizing each teaching and what it may have to offer, they want to fight over it, which is so silly. And we see that in denominational Christianity, which is why, based on the studies I've recently been exposed to, people are leaving churches in droves. Church attendance nationwide, regardless of denomination, is in the decline, seriously in the decline. I think people are stepping away and seeking the source on their own, or listening to programs like this and doing their own personal research. And there is wisdom in all of it. But yes, there is, even amongst metaphysicians, even amongst New Agers, if you will, there's still this, there's this antagonism. If you're studying one book and then you're also including another sacred book or concept to your life and you're studying that as well, there may be some inflammation there with some people when you share this this knowledge with them. So yes, but for me, new thought spirituality and pantheism. Pantheism is very much comes into play here, and it, I think, is part of the new thought universe, because what do we know? God or the source is in everything. The source that we know exists, scientifically we know, is in, around, and through everything. And yet there is also a consciousness that we seek that comes along with it. So that's why I say the essence of the source is in everything. The consciousness is available. I don't say in us, because it is in us, but is available to us once we open up to receive. The gift, it's a two-pronged gift, if you will. Our very existence is a gift. is there, whether we like it or not.
I see it that way too. I thank the universe quite often for all sorts of all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. So and, you know, and I think it's important to see it that way, because I really believe at this point in our lives, we have to recognize that that's how it truly is. You know, when our construction workers, our construction professionals build a home, there's certain elements to that foundation they automatically accept as being necessary to build to whatever it is, a home, a structure, an apartment building, you know, whatever the case may be. Well, the same is true here. We have to accept that there is a foundation, the atomic structure, the atoms, the mystical side of the atomic structure, and what it is comes later. But there's an atomic structure that's the substance, the foundation of all things. And now what we've discovered is there's a lot involved with that atomic structure. The atomic mm-hmm. structure can actually respond to our thoughts, which 60 years ago, before quantum mechanics, we didn't even know it possible. So there we are. We have to recognize the foundation, the essence, and the consciousness. The essence and the consciousness is a two-pronged gift, and new thought brought that to us. So we can read all the mystical documents we want, and there's a lot to be gained from all of it. But at the end of the day, new thought really makes it simple. There's a pantheistic quality, and there's a simple, the source is available to all of us. And that's all new thought really tells us, and that we can do so much with it. I know Ernest Holmes one of his famous quotes was, "There is a power in the universe, and you can use it. There's a power in the universe, and you can use it." Very simple term, but so much involved in that quote.
So if you want to start this journey, I'm ready to start, because, again, I'm on that journey as well. And we could start in December, January, whatever works best for you. It'll be a regularly scheduled program.
Well, yes, I would like to participate. I'm very excited about it. And I've been doing some truly in-depth research the past month. So I would definitely like to share what I personally am learning and the techniques that I'm applying in my own life, and would like to apply, see others apply as well. So I'd love to magnify those techniques, and somebody out there, as we always say during the course of our program, can benefit from what we introduce here. So yes, I'm very, very excited about it.
Fantastic. And I don't know if you read on my page, but I announced today that in 2024, I'm restructuring all the Hercules and the Space Gods shows too. There'll be much more, there'll be a new opening, a new closing to those shows, and also they'll be more interconnected to each other. So this way, you know, somebody could focus on what they're interested in, if they're interested in just part of the phenomenon. But if they listen to more programs, they'll all synchronistically connect and give a wider picture of the things that we're talking about. Rather than nilly-willy or randomly, it'll be structured and step-by-step. So I'm looking forward to tackling that in the beginning of the new year as well. And what was the name of the magazine that you had with your brother?
As far as UFOs?
Yes.
Yes, it was called Flying Saucers Unlimited, was the name of the magazine.
We start that as a legacy show? Legacy shows are shows that were something before they became shows on the channel. So if you want to continue yours and your brother's legacy, I'd gladly give you a segment that you can call UFOs Unlimited, and you can, you know, basically get your message out that way regarding the UFOs. If you'd like, if not,
I would like to. I would like to. There's a lot of very interesting history there in terms of the first, second, and third kind, if you will, in terms of confrontation with another term I like to use is flying saucers here and now, because UFOs obviously have been in the news. We're still waiting for that breakthrough information. We know it's out there. We know Congress has already had some hearings. I don't know. They seem to have ceased momentarily. But yes, I would very much like to focus on the flying saucer phenomena because
so
I think the golden age
here and now.
Yes,
if you like that better, we'll call it flying saucers here and now.
I would love that. I would love that because we can reintroduce, and I think it's important, the golden age of flying saucers and how it's very much prominent with what's happening at the present time in terms of some of the experiences our pilots and witnesses and observers have had. And, of course, then we have the revelations. Evidently, there are still those who don't believe, but I believe that Bob Lazar was absolutely correct in everything he said. He's put himself out there completely. And he's put his whole life out there for examination and scrutiny, if you will. So I think we can pretty much say that Bob Lazar is a prime example of someone who courageously has revealed to us information that has actually been available since the 50s, but has been rejected, covered up, blacklisted, if you will, in many ways. So I think there's an important source to delve into as well. I think he's the real article. I believe he is the real deal. And so far as I know, no one has been able to disprove his claims or the evidence that he's put forth, a very courageous individual in the field of UFO exploration. So that could be a part of the flying saucers here and now concept as well.
Okay, type up the concept for me, and we'll do a few specials first because it's difficult to get a regular slot open on the
mm-hmm.
channel. So we'll do it whenever, like if somebody can't do their show or a show is canceled or needs to be rescheduled, and we'll aim for once a month. And then as soon as the slot opens up, we'll put it in the regular slot. And this way it's there and it'll be the same time every month, like this show is the same time and day every month. And
that would be great.
Okay, so we have a goal, and now we have two shows we're working on. We're working on one on the law of attraction, and we're working on one on flying saucers. And one of the things I have now is I have a show called The UFO Entity Enigma. You might have been on that show at one point or another. We have different
mm-hmm.
people, panelists, discussing different parts of the UFO enigma, focusing mostly on the entities. So like this
mm-hmm.
Sunday coming up, a week from today, we're focusing on Mars and Martians. So we'll be talking about the face on Mars and Martians in movies and television and, Mars in cosmic literature of today, like Unarius and maybe Urantia. I don't know if Urantia has Martians in it, but Unarius certainly does. We'll be focusing on that. And then we have several parters sometimes if there's a lot to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Venusians for the past couple of months and explored a lot of the cosmic Venusian literature. So we'll be doing that starting Sunday. So I can let you know what topics, this way if you have expertise on those topics or want to speak about those topics, I'll invite you to the panels. Usually there's around 5-6 panelists and everybody has 8 to 10 minutes to give their presentation. And then if there's time, we have questions and things like that. And if there's not enough time, then we continue it on the next UFO Entity Enigma. And then I started a special called UFO Entity Encounters, where people had mm-hmm. isolated, it's everything from contactees to abductees to channelers, people who've experienced mm-hmm. the phenomenon in different ways. And there,
mm-hmm.
too, again, the consistency is rather remarkable. So it'd be great to cover flying saucers in the historical context. I knew John Keel, for instance, several other authors and hosts we've had on knew John Keel as well. Just like now, mm-hmm. I dedicated everything to Timothy Green Beckley. I'd like to dedicate some shows to John Keel, who I knew, to Brad Steiger, who I knew. And then there are people that other people knew, Michael Waterman knew Hans Holzer, so I'd like to do a show on Hans Holzer and he could share his memories. Mark and Phyllis Brinkhoff knew Ingo Swann. So we can start focusing on that aspect of the UFO phenomenon and talk to people who knew these people, who can share their memories of these people, and we can keep their work alive too.
Well, I think that's great, and I think it's important. I loved Brad Steiger's work. John Keel was fantastic in the work that he did. All of them are certainly groundbreakers and pioneers when this considered a minuscule area in terms of our lives here in the third dimension. These adventurers, these pioneers, put their lives and their reputations out on the line to explore the unknown, the invisible worlds, the possibilities that were and are available to us, but that not too many committed their resources to. So these individuals did all of that and so much more. So that's great that we keep their legacies going, if you will. Very important. There's still so much to learn from what they wrote about and what they taught.
And the Brinkhoffs also knew the Hills, I believe, Betty and Barney Hill.
Did they?
Yeah, if I remember correctly. So that would be a great thing. If you're going to focus on that aspect of the phenomenon, that would be fantastic. Yours would be the main voice for that. And we have plenty of other hosts and guests who can contribute to the topic. So we can get that, again, as soon as we get a regularly scheduled time slot, but we could plan one for next month.
Very excited about it. I certainly appreciate it. And the opportunity is certainly very much appreciated. I mean, it's long overdue. And thanks to the venue and the opportunities that you have created, those of us who have been researching for so many years now have the chance to do that, to share that information.
Well, I'm honored to be of assistance, and you have a powerful voice, and it deserves to be heard, Michael. And I'm looking at the clock. Less than 3 minutes. Time zooms by when we start talking. Thank you so much for all the information you shared today, and for your thoughts, for your memories, and for your vision. And I'm looking forward to working with you more than this one show per month.
Well, as a researcher, I thank you for the allegiance that we have in sharing this much-needed information that can create a better civilization and a better world, one person at a time. So I thank you for being part of all of this.
My pleasure. Thank you for being part of it as well. And how can people enter your world and talk to you and find out more about what you've done and what you're doing?
Well, they can write to me at Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I have a creative health manual that is just very complete in terms of healing, diet, herbs, essential oils, vitamins and minerals, phytonutrients, everything one might want to know in terms of enhancing their health from a natural standpoint. So that's available for $5 a copy. Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. And I also have a prayer ministry that I'm very proud of. They can write their prayers, write them down, and send them to me. I will put them in white light, pray over them, and we will write them back.
Thank you, my friend. Awesome work from an awesome individual. And thank you. And thank you to our wonderful audience, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and know that the best is yet to come. Thank you again, Michael, and thank you, everybody. Take good care.
Blessings to everyone.
Blessings to all. I agree.